The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning. For those of you that are guests with us today, you'll have to come back next week to hear Pastor Jason. But what a joy it is. Pastor asked me a couple of weeks ago if I would be able to share with you from God's Word, and I was certainly glad to be able to do so. So I've sent emails to all of my friends out in the internet world. And so if you're watching, guys, I hope you are. I'm glad for all the technology. I'm glad that we can meet together. I love church. I spent most of my life in church. I like church. I believe it's God's kingdom works through the church as it works through us. And so it's a joy to be able to share with you from God's Word this morning. We're going to be continuing the series of God's promises. I'll admit that I had to go back and check a lot of the videos from Pastor Jason, because I'm going, now, wait a minute, what did he say that week? Oh, no. And so I'm looking, and I'm trying to go back and listen to what he said. And so finally, we were at last week's service, and something was said, and the Lord just prompted me toward this. And if you don't do this, you always are looking for something that will give you a sign that you're on the right track. How many like to be on the, you know, you want to be on the right track? Say, you know, I want to, you know, you want to do the, say the right things and all of that. And so I went in to check what we're going to be, I knew I was playing keyboards this morning, so I went in to check the music, and here we are. The first song we talk about is God's grace, which is good because that's what I want to talk about this morning. But before I do, real quick, I want to say thank you to Pastor Jason and Lisa and Jason, Sarah, and Tyler and Natalie and all of you. You know, we've been here a little over a year, here in the church a little over a year, and this is home for us. We love this church. We love all of you, and you guys have welcomed us so much and made us feel at home. And it just seemed like we were just getting settled in to really starting to get acquainted with people in the church, and all of a sudden, there's no live service, and everything's done online. And the group of my Connect group, and for a while they put up with the Zoom call, and boy, how awkward is Zoom calls? There's some good things that happen, but it's just not the same. It's not the same as being able to, even though you can't hug, and you know, I'm a hugger. I'm sorry. I try to be appropriate about it, but I love to be able to, you know, to shake hands. And so here you go, supposed to can high five. And I don't understand, if you can high five, you can fist pump. But anyway, all of that, who knows, you know, I've decided a month after all of this started, I'm going to stop trying to figure it out. Just, okay, whatever. Lord, you're in control. And the Lord took me back to this. A number of months ago, the Lord took me back to the scripture. And so if turning in your Bibles, we're going to begin at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And talking about grace, and the Lord began to just speak into my heart. And it's been several months now, the Lord took me to this. And I think it was one of those moments where I was complaining about something, which I really don't have a lot to complain about, but I was doing it anyway. A number of weeks ago I was up here, and I had to have that moment of confession where, okay, yeah, I operate in the sin. I used to think it was a spiritual gift, but it's not. It's the sin of worry. And so as we talked about that, and one of the scriptures that's helped me through most of my life is found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The scenario of this is Paul is talking about an experience that he's having. We look at verse 7. So he said, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation." And if you have to go back, and the context of this is found in the first six verses where Paul is talking about experiencing some revelations from God. He says, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." Verse 9, "But he," God, don't you love it when God speaks to you when you're complaining? "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul makes the declaration, therefore will I boast the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. The thing I love about Paul was he got it really quick. He said, I've prayed about this 3 times. And I thought about that, and I said, Lord, I wish I could be like Paul, where I just pray about, or really pray about this, or come to you and, you know, and ask you, Lord, I asked 3 times. It says he pleaded. The word pleaded there was he was down on his face. God, take this away from me. And we wonder what it is. Nobody's for certain. The key to this is it was a messenger from Satan to harass me, a thorn in the flesh. And so, you know, some people think it was a situation. Other people think it was being in prison. Others think it was literally a physical problem that had developed, that had happened in Paul's life, whether it was an illness or because of being in prison and being beaten and all of that, something perhaps had affected him physically. We don't know. But he spent 3 times on his face asking God to do this, and God's response to him was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In the charismatic movement, sometimes we, and in Pentecost, so this is my reference where I grew up, we sometimes avoided this scripture because it was like we had to explain why God said this. I don't have to explain why God says anything. This is what God said. God, now the context of this, God is speaking to Paul, but the principle of what God is saying is for all of us. I believe that God hears us, and I believe he answers prayer. In this situation, he said, look, Paul recognized the situation was for his benefit. All of us have gone through things in our life where God has had to give us grace over situations because what was going on, if we would stay close to God in this, we are going to become strong because there is a purpose behind every situation. God is not absent in any situation, but he says, my grace is sufficient for you. If there is weakness, and this is our launching point, if there is a weakness, if there is something that is so hard for us to work through, he says, my power is completed in that weakness. My power. I want to receive everything God has for me. That's what I want. I want to receive everything that God has. And sometimes I have to go through things for God to show me and for me to experience his power working in my life. Because I'm honest, I don't know how you are, but when things are going great, no problems, the water is smooth, there's no waves, there's no ripples, everything's going great, there's not a hole in the bottom of the boat, I'm not fighting anything. Guess what? I tend to relax enough that sometimes I think, man, look what I've done. And all of a sudden there's a storm, there's something that happens to remind me, it's nothing I've done, it's everything that he's done. The sufficiency, the word sufficient means to be possessed of an unfailing strength. God declared this, and he still says it today, my grace is an unfailing strength that comes in our lives. And so his grace, his goodwill, his favor that is mostly given to us undeserved. There's nothing I have that I deserve but by the grace of God. So let me just go through this. First of all, his grace is sufficient because it is abundant. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. I love that. I like this better. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. I like God's grace, but I like, he says, God is rich in grace and he has lavished this upon us. The word lavished is to overflow. God doesn't want to dispense to us his grace in a little, you know, a little quarter cup measuring. You know, if you try to, sometimes if we're in a situation, we need more than just a little dose of something. I found the illustration. I was thinking about this as I was going back through the message and thought about this. God's grace is like a fire hydrant. And God will just turn the handle on that fire hydrant and he will completely soak us in his grace. It's not just a little something that we get. He has lavished this upon us. It is an abundance. It is an overflow. More than what we need, God provides it for us because it is the riches of His grace. What God has, He gives to us. What God has for us, He wants to demonstrate in our lives. And Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, which He has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And as I begin to meditate on this, begin to study this out, it was an interesting thing. The word wisdom there is what God knew. Insight is what God understood. And I will be, this is the first time, I don't repeat sermons, but I like to see what I said sometime before. And I went through a lot of my sermon notes, went back and to see, and I found this, and I could not find that I had ever taught this particular thing that I'm sharing, this particular thing this morning. I use the scripture a lot of times. And the Lord began to, and He demonstrated to me, this is how much God's grace and God's love for us is demonstrated. He pours it out upon us out of what He knows and what He understands. And I wrote this down. I don't have very great moments of great thought or original thought, but I've came across with this, and I want to share this with you. God sending Jesus was not a shot in the dark to see what might happen. That's not what it is. God knew what it would cost and understood the implications if He did not send Jesus. I want you to think about that for a moment. Undeserved, God knew that if I don't do this, this will never happen. If I don't do this, this can't take place. If God had not done that, you and I would not be sitting here today living in the grace and the mercy of God. We might be somewhere trying to figure out what's going on in the world. But see, because God gave us, poured His grace upon us out of His, what He knew and what He understood, the value of that was, and John 3 says, He loved us so much that He gave. Knowing that the gift of Christ to the world was going to open up the opportunity for us to experience life abundantly, more than we can ever imagine, more than we can ever ask or think. Why? Because it's the grace of God. His grace is sufficient because it is perpetual. It's ongoing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, hallelujah, everybody say mercy, because of the great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He has made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in, remember this is written early church, so that in ages to come, generation after generation after generation after generation, that He would show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. His grace is not a one-time event. God's grace to us is not something that was given 2,000 years ago and we're out here to fend for ourselves. It says that in ages to come, or generation after generation after generation, God wants us to understand that He will show us the immeasurable riches of His grace in our lives. The third thing is His grace is sufficient because it helps me to be what God made me to be. This is one of my favorite parts of this is in Ephesians 4, he says there was one body, one spirit. We're all called into one hope and one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God, one Father who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each one of us, God has given us by His grace the measure of Christ's gift. When you study the life of Christ, you study the ministry of Christ, you study the prophetic things of Christ, each one of us as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ have been gifted to live out and to follow and to live out the gift of Christ in the world. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound into good work. Again, we are called to work together and to bring Christ into the earth, because it is the grace of God that has come to us. He wants us to demonstrate to others. We're called stewards. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of us has received a gift of grace. Use it to serve one another. Let me just share with you. I love Harvest. I love Harvest Church. And my observation when we first started coming to the church was that everybody has a place. Everybody has a spot. Everybody, and I begin to watch, and people working in their gifts as God is and using them, and people, this is what makes church life what it's supposed to be. And it says here that we use what God has given us to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. See, in our lives, one of the words that's used for grace is gift. God has graced each of us for each other. He has graced us for the world. On your job, at school, some of you, your job is virtual. And so you get to talk to somebody on the side of the computer. Hey, that's a pretty captive audience. What I'm experiencing and talking to people is that they're having more opportunities because of everything, the craziness that's going on, everything that's happening. They have more opportunities to share about the goodness of God than ever before. We are gifted for this time. Brothers and sisters, we are gifted. And God has called us to be stewards of this grace that He's given to us, and for us to use it at this time. I don't understand everything, but all I know is that God is in control, because His grace is abundant. His grace is at work. His grace, last thing, is His grace is sufficient for every need. Now, everything else is introduction to get to this. Hebrews chapter 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As I mentioned before, a lot of times people have skirted Paul's thing in 2 Corinthians because it was like God didn't answer his prayer. Yeah, God did. In fact, we know that God answered Paul's prayer lots of times. He performed miracles and works of the apostles. And so at that one particular time, he laid the foundation for this. My grace is sufficient for you, and it is sufficient for every need. We come to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. When we come to God, the throne represents the place of authority. It is the place of power. I've been fortunate in traveling around, been able to travel a lot around the world and on mission trips and different things, and have gone into palaces and seen where the king, or most of the time it's been the king, but the different places, and you get to tour this, and you get to go in, and this is where, when they hold court, this is where the king would sit there on the throne. Can I tell you today, God has not left the throne to go do something else. He is still on the throne right now, and it says that Jesus sits at the right hand of Father, ever making intercession for us, that no matter who we are, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what our needs are, He is there demonstrating and executing His power toward us, the throne of grace. Well, the effect of that is found in 1 Peter 5 and 10. He says, after you have suffered. Now, everybody say suffer with me, so we can just kind of suffer. Oh, say it again. Suffer. Now, that's not a word we like to say. But the reality is that there are times when we experience a sensation or an impression that is usually painful. That's what that word means. After you have suffered. Something that can be painful. So Peter's writing this, and he understands this as well as anybody does. He says, you may experience this for a little while, Then the God of all grace will himself. He didn't send somebody else. He didn't send somebody that he hired to do this for him. It says here that when we have suffered, when we've gone through the things we're going through, the God of all grace will himself, who has we've been called to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself do four things. And those are four things I want to share for this before we go this morning. He says that God himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I'm telling you, that's good news right there. That is some good news right there. This is a promise. My grace, the God of all grace, the source of all grace, and God who never runs out of his stuff. There's never a bad day in heaven. There's never a day in heaven where God looks around and goes, hey, what happened to the grace? We're fresh out. Now, how many of us would admit that there's been days when we've been fresh out of patience? You know, I told one of my friends, I said, you know, there's been a few days where I thought, you know, if you're coming to me for a good attitude, I'm fresh out. Don't come here. Don't, you know, I don't have anything to give. Well, then the Holy Spirit convicts me of that, and I have to repent and, you know, go through that whole process. I know none of you have to do that, but that's kind of my life so much of the time is I'm repenting for things like that. But it says that God, the God of all grace, will himself, four things. Number one, restore. He will restore what has been broken. He will restore what's been broken. If God's business is to restore to us, he wants to come with his grace and by his grace into our lives. If there's something that is broken, if we're at a place of brokenness in our life, he wants us to know that he has not abandoned us. He has not forgot us. He's not forsaken us. He's not, you know, waiting on us. He's not waiting on me to fix it, because if I could have fixed it, I would have already done that. And I recognize that I can't. I recognize that there's no way. I don't know what else to do, God. I'm at my wit's end with this. I'm like Paul. I'm here, Lord, we feel like this. Lord, I'm coming to you one more time about this. He will restore what has been broken. He will confirm himself in what is being questioned. Read something the other day. It says, where is God in the middle of all of this stuff that's going on? He's right here. He hasn't left town. He may be tempted to leave town. God's got to go, man, what have I done? I started this mess. Look at. But because of his grace, and because of his mercy, he doesn't leave us. And so the things that are questioned in our lives, the things that we don't have answers to, the things that are frustrating for us, God will confirm who he is and his power and his grace in him if we will simply trust him. Because what Paul said was, he said, here's the deal. He said, when as God, as I hear, I know who God is, I understand who God is, and he told me that in this weakness, he will demonstrate and complete his power. He said, therefore, I just say, okay, Lord, have your way. Do your work in my life, whatever it is. We have to come to that same place in our lives. As he restores us, he confirms what the questioning in our life is. He will then strengthen what has become weak. If you struggle with a weakness in your life, maybe there's a weak area physically, or maybe there's a weak area that you recognize that the enemy fights you over, and we call it a weakness. Can I tell you here that God has come to bring strength in that weakness? Because we have a weakness does not mean that we are left to be weak the rest of our life. God wants to demonstrate to us his power in our weakness. The last is he will establish what has been shaken. He will establish what has been shaken. Most of us have experienced something in our lives that's rocked our thinking, the process of our lives. Many of you have gone through situations where it's affected your job, it's affected, you know, everything. what I've understood with stress, and the Lord, I heard someone sharing this on a podcast, and as I was listening to that, I thought it's true. Paul, in his dilemma, was at a point where he didn't know what else to do. God, I've got to come to you. I don't know if I can make it. This thorn in the flesh, this messenger, you know, from hell that's come and showed up at my doorstep and is just beating me up over this. I don't know if I can take this. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. In this weakness, I will perfect my power. That's a hard place to live. But as we know, we come out the other side of this. God says, the word says that God himself will come. In that moment of desperation, that moment of need, he will come, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish into our lives. So how do we access this? Well, it's really simple. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. It says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. That is the companion scripture of verse 7, because we love to quote verse 7, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you, or he cares for us. I love that. The other part is, oh yeah, if I want to be able to cast all of my anxieties on him, I have to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Under that hand that is the dispenser of grace. Under that hand that is the dispenser of mercy. Under that hand that is the dispenser of his power and his Holy Spirit into our lives, so that every day we can have strength and power to live, that it is his grace that is given to us is sufficient. It is plenty. In fact, I read a commentary about the word sufficient that was used there in Paul's. He said it is the realization that as I ask, he is more than able to strengthen me. I draw strength not from who I am, but from who he is. My power is made perfect in weakness. For you see, God has done his part. God has done his part. Will I do my part and come to the throne of grace? I can't come. I don't come begging. Please understand. I'm not saying that's how we come. We humble ourselves. Most of us recognize that if I could fix it, I would fix it. The place of humility is admitting, God, I can't do this. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a point of strength. When I admit that I can't do it, and God, I can't handle this, I can't do this anymore, I need you. I come to the throne of grace. Where the Bible says that I find grace and I find mercy. How will I access this sufficiency of grace? As I humble myself, the word anxiety, I'm going to close with this. The word anxiety, it's an interesting word, because we think we all, when somebody says anxiety, we all form a picture. And as I was studying this, the original text and the original word for anxiety seems it is to be drawn in different directions. When we are, our eyes are upon, and we want to focus upon God and we want to come to him, there are so many things that pull at us. There are so many things that get to distract us. There are so many things that want to get our attention. This idea of being distracted. And he says, to come when you put yourself under the mighty hand of God, because God is the one who will lift us out of that brokenness. He is the one that will come and he will lift us beyond all the questions and things we don't understand. He is the one that will infuse us and lift us up when we're weak. He is the one that come and will repair the foundations of our life and the things that have been shaken. He will lift us beyond all of that. because he is the one who has the power. And he simply says, all of those distractions. The challenge for us is when I read that scripture and I think about that, is that when I come, Lord, of making myself push away the distractions. The things. If you listen to the news, you're going to be distracted. Now, you can listen to the news if you want to, but I'm just telling you, if you listen to enough people, you're going to get distracted. And I'm not saying we don't shut ourselves off. We don't isolate ourselves and, you know, hide, you know, just where we don't know what's going on in the world. But at some point, we have to focus and say, God, I'm going to dismiss all the distractions so I can focus on you. When I come to you, to the throne of grace. There's a little kid's poem that really illustrates this. Some of you may have read this to your kids. Some of you may have heard it when you were a kid. And it's the story. It says this, "Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been?" It says, "Well, I've been to London to see the Queen." "Well, pussycat, pussycat, what did you see there?" "Oh, I saw a mouse under her chair." Sometimes we see the mice. We enter into the place of the throne room. We enter into the place that God can really speak to us. If we're not careful, we begin to see the mice under the chair. We begin to see the things that are easily for us. Now, it wasn't the cat's fault that he, because why? That's a natural reaction. We have to put aside our natural and allow God to work in our spirit. Because what happens in the spirit inside of us will actually affect what we do and how we think in the natural. Cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for us. Whatever situation we're in today, his grace, the promise of his grace is sufficient for every need. Father, I thank you today. I praise you, Lord, for the power of your word that works in our life, doing more than we can ever imagine as we simply will trust you. Lord, that we come to the place where we trust in you with all of our heart. We don't trust our own understanding. We trust yours. And in everything we acknowledge you, we push away the distractions. And it says you will direct our path. We're going to come to worship in just a minute. I want everybody to stand as we prepare to worship before we go this morning. But I want to pray for you. The Lord just really spoke this over me. Whatever it is that you need. And I know with everything that's going on, we don't have prayer here in the front. But right there where you're at, in spite of everything that's going on, we can lose the distractions. And for just a few moments this morning, if there's something you say, you know, Pastor, I need God's grace infused in my situation. Whatever it is, if it's brokenness or there's question or there's weakness, whatever those things are, simply ask you just to lift your hand. We're going to pray. Father, as we lift our hands to you today, Father, saying, Lord, there's a need. You know that need. Even before we pray this morning, you are aware of that need. And we come boldly to the throne of grace. We come to that place where all authority in heaven and earth rest. We approach that place, Lord, where every grace that we need for our lives is contained there and comes from there. And I pray for all of our friends. I pray for those that are watching at home, they're watching the video, listening to the podcast, whatever it is, Lord, that you, Heavenly Father, will come and reassure us that your grace is sufficient and that your grace is available for us if we will trust you. So today we choose, Lord, to trust you over everything we hear, over everything we see, over everything that I may be experiencing. I choose to trust in the God who is able to move heaven and earth just for me. Because you love me so much. And you knew what my life would be without Christ, so you sent him. You knew the mess of things that would be going on in me, but you sent Jesus. And in the power of the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus, I stand today, Lord, to receive every grace that you have for me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you receive that this morning, give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship together, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.